Welcome to The Sustainable Life. This is Josh Spodek, and I'm here with Jacqueline Pekanik. And we're chuckling because we were laughing before we started recording. But all right, it's Friday night here. That means it's Saturday morning there. The last we spoke, I'm going to jump right in and ask, because I'm really curious how your hiking went. Although, before we recorded, we'll put on the agenda, Doof, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious because you're going through all the episodes from the beginning. Actually, no, I'm going to start there. Okay. What episode number are you up to now?
Let me double check. I know I'm still in 2018. I'm still very much pre-COVID.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure you just interviewed what's your football? You're like NFL?
Oh, yeah. Was it from the Eagles?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I've just started listening to episode 4.
Brian. Okay.
Sorry.
And it was Brian. Now his name escapes me. I shouldn't forget his name because if he's the Philadelphia Eagle, I'm from Philadelphia and they won the Super Bowl.
Okay. Where is it? So I'm at 45 now. Is it not Jeff Brown?
Brian Braman. David. Is that it?
Yes. That was number 43.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a backstory on that one. So everyone gets to hear this one.
Yeah.
Is that his agent contacted me and he's an agent and he's got a couple different people who represent him. And they put me in touch and it was really complicated to schedule. I mean, he just won the Super Bowl. He's in New York. I'm trying to reach him. And it turns out that he's going to be at the New York recording studio of 50 Cent, you know, the big rap star. And somehow I heard the address. And so I didn't get confirmation. I just went. And I took the elevator up and someone opens up and like it's the whole floor. 50 Cent wasn't there, but his entourage is there. I don't know, his friends are there. And they're like, who are you? Ready to not let me in. And I think I said Brian's name or maybe I saw Brian and that got me in. So I was like in this special place and we recorded. And something in me was like, now that I got this one, I should connect with the people to get 50 Cent on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything. I don't know any of his music. And so I didn't try to I didn't embarrass myself by anyway. So that was recorded in that studio. And I got in a little bit of trouble with the agent. It was like, you weren't supposed to do that. I'm like, well, I got the recording. You know, the old, what's that phrase? It's better to beg forgiveness than ask for permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely went there. Okay. So you're up to 43. So you're.
Yeah, I'm up to 45 now.
20% done.
Yeah. What was her name? She's really interesting because I'm studying property and this person is an architect. And yeah, Anissa Hemming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was.
Yeah.
I think about her all the time because she talked about washing her plastic bags. And my plastic, you know, when I get a plastic bag, I'll use it for years. And when I wash them, I think of her. Because I'd never heard of someone doing it before. So it was, there's all these things that are embarrassing, but then all I need is one person else who does it. And I'm like, oh, no reason to be embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not alone. Because I used to be a checkout chick at one of the groceries here, a grocery stores here, IGA. And yeah, there was a few times where someone brought in like canvas bags or plastic bags. And I had to look at this person and say, I'm sorry, I cannot put your food in this bag. There is mold growing in it. It is a safety concern. Like I cannot. So yeah, and some people don't even realize, like, oh, I just put it straight back in my car, and obviously there's like condensation, and they don't realize. So yeah, ever since I've had to look someone in the eye and do that, I'm always triple checking because it was really gross.
Well, now you can point them to that episode of the podcast, and they can hear that they can wash those things.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any other episodes that struck you?
Well, I think I'm completely sidetracked by this current episode because I started listening to it on the train and my earbuds, like only one of my earbuds was working. I'm like, no, I'm going to save this episode because this is exactly like my jam, basically, because I'm studying property. She's an architect. And I'm like, oh, okay, I really, really want to listen to this. So I feel like I'm just hyper-focusing on this one episode now. But I think there was the other one. It was another recent one where I think it was one of the ones where it was just you talking. You didn't have a guest on. And you went around the Hudson River and you were like picking up garbage. And you had to document it, like you were partnered with this group.
Yeah, the Hudson River Riverkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were partnered with a group, and I think they like kind of already knew each other from like university or something. And yeah, you were talking about how you picked up so much rubbish or trash, but it was only like a quarter of what they did the year before. And you're kind of like, why were you applauding this? Like, we didn't do as much. And even though you did pick up a lot, there's like your point of view is like there was so much more to do. And then you came across this generator that was just on, but it wasn't actually powering anything. And it was just this massive waste. And I remember, because I think it was because you were talking about how there was like newly hatched chicks or geese or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're so cute.
Yeah, and I was like in the car and I was like getting angry for these chicks. And I'm like, that's so irresponsible. And like, I think that really stuck with me because I got angry on behalf of these little birds. And yeah, it was just interesting.
Was that the one where when we walked away, they just immediately got out coffee cups and like they're generating just more litter, like as if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. And there was like foam on the water, but it wasn't foam from water, you know, being water. It was foam because there was something in the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. The value to me of that volunteering is part and picking up litter every day is it's only a little bit to, it doesn't really clean stuff up. It only moves litter around, but it leads me to not get the stuff. Like a lot of people think it's really hard to avoid packaged food. Not when you're disgusted by it. And the more litter I pick up, there's no, I think people feel like, it must take a lot of willpower to not get a Snickers bar. But when you look at, when something is disgusting, it doesn't take any willpower at all.
Yeah.
So it helps build up that disgust for this, you know, to me, it's just, and that's also why I spend time in Washington Square Park where the crack row, as they call it, where when I see people using, like the people use heroin and crack and meth and fentanyl, there's so much waste and garbage all over the place around them. Mm. And I don't look at them as a deviation from our society. I view them as just a slightly more acute version of it. Doof is pollution and it's disgusting. It didn't used to be disgusting. I used to love Doritos and Snickers and stuff like that. And now, yeah.
I have to admit, because I said, I can't remember if we're recording or not, I was like in Australia's version of like finals week. It's like where all of your major exams and assessments and final bits are due for your to university or college. And I found I was very time poor. And it was so easy to use that excuse that I have no time. I've got to focus on my final assessments. And I'm really stressed. And so I fell back into just getting a packet ramen. And I tried to add like nutrients. So I made sure that I added like pak choy or bok choy and a few other veggies. And I did kind of like a hot pot at home. So I got like the fish balls and the tofu and the mushrooms. And ever since that episode, I can't help but look. This is like a few weeks ago now that I did this. And I can't help but look back and go, even though I did like a hot pot at home and I tried to make this really cheap meal nutritious, there was so much plastic. Like the fish balls came in a plastic bag to put in the freezer. The tofu balls came in a plastic bag. The individual packets of ramen has the big packet, then the small packet it's in, and then the small packet of the seasoning and the small packet of the oil thing and a small packet of the dehydrated veggies. And I've still got some in the cupboard and I can't bring myself to eat it. Even though it's there and like it's a cheap, quick meal, I just look at it and I'm like, oh, that's so much waste. Like it's so much plastic waste and I can't do it. But I'm also not going to throw it away because then that's an even bigger waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got the mindset shift and it's going to keep growing and growing.
Food, not doof.
Yeah. Yeah. So you watched that TED. Oh, okay. Let's get to hear how your commitment went. And I want to lead into talking about your priorities and having time to do stuff. And which is it, not having time keeps you from going to nature or not going to nature keeps you from having time? I don't know if that's something that
No,
it, you thought about.
I was thinking about it on one of my walks, actually, and I felt like it was a self-feeding. It was like a cycle. Uh-huh. I was going to nature, so I felt like, you know, I didn't have a lot of time, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I wasn't going to nature. But the walks were really good, and...
Oh, wait, before you start talking about the...
Oh, sorry.
Before you start talking about, let's go back a step, because I want to make sure that we... People like to talk about what they did, but I always want to start with what led to it. So do you remember when I asked you about an experience in nature?
Yeah.
What you talked about?
Yeah. Not going to lie, I still can't believe that I started talking about turtles laying their eggs when I was like, I think, I can't remember if I was 5 or 8. I was one of them on Heron Island off the coast of Queensland. And Heron Island's kind of just in the southern tip of the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah. And I remember thinking about it, and I hadn't thought about it for years. But ever since I had that meeting with you, I can't stop thinking about it. And, you know, I keep having these more memories and like going snorkeling, like with my dad and my sister. And like, it was just an amazing experience that for some reason it had just been buried or forgotten. And yeah, it's been really cool to kind of like keep thinking about that.
I might suggest suppressed or denied. Maybe I'm not sure if it's the case with you, but when we live in a world that's increasingly paved over and we hear about they're going to go drill in some place, and if we have convinced ourselves that there's nothing we can do about anything, then we don't want to be reminded of these things. We want to suppress and deny. Whereas, and so it's a self-reinforcing cycle of we don't have it in our lives, and so we don't mind losing more of it, and then there's less of it. So I'm not sure if that's the case with you, but I think that's the case with a lot of us, is that we just feel like nature is like, that's something far away, and it's something we fly to, but it's not something we actually experience. But it goes the other way too, that the more we experience it, the more we want to. All right, so do you remember what emotions you felt or what it was like?
Yeah, it was the first time I felt a sense of responsibility for nature, because I remember looking at these turtles and I'm like, oh, we're not allowed to walk on the sand because we can, you know, crush their eggs that have been buried. Just, you know, when turtles nest, it, dig a hole, lay the eggs, and then kind of bury the eggs. And so I remember realizing, okay, we're not allowed to walk on the beach because, you know, we could crush these little eggs and they need to be protected. And so, yeah, I remember feeling that first real sense of responsibility for nature, but also being really curious about it. And yeah, that feeling of wanting to protect it at a really young age. And also it was just beautiful. And I tried to keep that in mind on my walks. So instead of just going, okay, I want to reach, you know, I want to walk 5Ks. I don't know how many miles that is. Sorry. I want to walk 5 kilometers. Okay. I want to walk 5 kilometers, you know, before I have to go home and cook dinner. It was more, okay, I'm just going to walk and actually pay attention to what's around me. So I'll look out, look at the trees, look at the beach, wherever I was, and try and actually absorb what I was in, instead of thinking of it as, okay, I need to get this task done before I move on to the next task. Because I feel like that's the whole reason why I stopped going on walks and stopped connecting with nature, because it wasn't one of the tasks I had to do. It wasn't on my to-do list. So I immediately on my first walk, which we did actually that straight after the interview, because it was morning for me. So me and my partner went for a walk. And the second walk though, it immediately felt like a task. It was on my to-do list. And I realized for the first probably half of the walk that I was like, okay, I wasn't paying attention. It was, okay, I've got to do washing, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And then I kind of realized, why am I doing this walk? Okay, I need to take a step back and actually look at around. And yeah, because I'm like, I didn't want you to ask me about how my walks were. I'm like, yeah, I'd made like 8 to-do lists. Yeah.
So let's go back a step. What did you commit to? How many walks did you say you were going to do? And
I said I wanted to do 8, but I'd be happy if I did 6. And I did 7. I'm not really counting the last one because it wasn't so much a walk through nature. It was a walk through the city, and there was trees there. But I'm like, nah, that doesn't count.
I happen to find that the more that I connect with the nature, the more I can find it in places.
Okay.
And because... to me, that's important because the more that I find it, the more I don't want to lose it. Like, even if there's just one tree on a block, I'm like, there could be 2. And what kind of tree is it? How does it interact with, are there birds connected to it? We're so quick to let this stuff go. And the more we notice it, like there's some trees out in front of my building and my building hires some people to garden and they're constantly cutting branches off. I don't think anyone else notices it. They're probably feeling like they're pruning it, but it's like, it's a berry tree and the berries are delicious. I'm like, I want those berries.
Yeah.
So, all right, how many times did you go with someone and how many times did you go solo?
It actually ended up being all the times I was with someone. So six of them were with my partner and two of them. Actually, no, if I'm counting the last one, the one that was in the city, I did one by myself, six with my partner and one with my friend. Yeah.
You started within the day of when we spoke, and when was it? The last one was also within the last 24 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. The last one was yesterday.
And I can't help but ask a few questions. How does this compare? You're doing a lot of stuff with your university of sustainability things.
Yeah.
Like you're on all these organizations and you're helping them get started and you're doing it. How does this compare with those things?
I'm trying to find the right words. It was much more relaxing because I was just in nature. I wasn't thinking about my next move and who I had to meet or what I had to do. I just kind of took that opportunity to reconnect with the person who I was walking with or reconnect with nature just by looking out. There was a few times because there was a couple walks where we went to, it's called Neil Hawkins Park in Joondalup. And it's around Lake Joondalup and it's this massive walk. Like if you wanted to walk around the whole thing, it would probably take you a couple hours. But yeah, and we saw so many birds and we saw what are they called? I think they're called bobtail lizards.
Huh?
And it was really cool because I just kind of focused on the nature. And because it is work, it's more, it's not that I'm not putting in any effort. It's just, it is work. It is effort. It is, I'm not having to fight with someone, but I'm maybe having to argue with someone, trying to get them to see why we should be doing this or writing up a document on, you know, why we should be doing X or Y or what are the benefits of this. Whereas this walk was just so much more relaxing because I was just in the moment enjoying nature. I hope that answers your question.
I'm going to extrapolate here and ask if, this is a slightly different language than you're speaking, but I feel like a lot of people feel like sustainability means you have to work, that it takes energy. And I'm feeling that this gives energy. Like this recharges batteries.
Yeah.
Your batteries, not you know, just to be clear, not
yeah,
the chemical batteries.
Yeah, it is. It is. You are right. And I'm so glad I found what I'm passionate about. And because I'm passionate about it, it's still work as in it is a job, but it's not work as in, oh, I have to get up, slog through an hour of traffic, get to work, answer phones that I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be in that environment. Whereas this, I haven't started the Vice President Sustainability and Welfare role yet, but I like cannot wait for next year. Like I am chomping at the bit to start at this job and it's, like, I want to go to work and I know that it's supposed to only be 3 days a week, but I know I'm probably going to be doing 4 or 5 days a week worth of work because it's something I'm so passionate about. And I found that every time I have had a meeting where I am with those like-minded people, so every time I've had a meeting for the urban ecology projects that I'm on with Dr. Boonlay Ong at Curtin, every time it's supposed to be like a 15 or a 30-minute meeting and it always goes over because we cannot stop sharing, oh, have you heard about this? Oh, did you see this at Curtin? Oh, did you see this that the City of Perth is doing? And we can't stop talking about it. And it's just this like literal buzz. Like if you had no idea what was going on and you just walked into that meeting room because you'd booked it, we were busy talking away, you would walk in and immediately notice the energy is just like everyone's pumped and ready to go. And it's been the same at every time I go to a meeting for UNAAWA, so the WA division of the Australian division of the UN. I volunteer with the environmental committee, and every time we have a meeting there, even though it's always after work and people, you know, before the meeting starts, you know, how are you going? And people would always go, oh, you know, like it's the busy season, like work is insane, of this person's quit, so now I'm doing two people's jobs, and you know, they're tired from work, but the second the meeting starts, it's like the whole energy changes and it's just like, yes, let's do this. And it's really, it's just almost intoxicating to be around, and you can't help but get to that level of pumped. And you're right, it does, it gives you energy, even though it is work and it requires effort. Maybe it's not work. It's a task that requires effort. It's effort you want to put in, and it's very different to effort that you don't want to put in.
This is so different than so many people, they're feeling, you know, it's like the phrase of our age is, oh, what I do doesn't matter though.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can do all this stuff, but it's big work for me and it doesn't make a difference to the world, so it's not really worth doing. But you don't feel that way at all.
No, I feel like, how do I explain it? I was speaking to a psychologist and she said, sometimes the best way to get to the root of a problem, pretend you're a toddler, because what's a toddler's favorite question? But why?
Why?
But why? Yeah. Like, they don't understand how the world works yet. They're learning. So if you've got someone with an issue or a problem or a certain belief, instead of arguing with them, going, you're wrong, you shouldn't support this person, or you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't drink that or eat that, go, okay, why? Okay. And when they answer, okay, but why? But why? And just, but why? But why? But why? And they'll either get really frustrated and want to stop talking to you, or they'll start to actually ask that questions to themselves. And yeah, ever since she said that, it's like my favorite tactic of any problem that I want to get to the bottom to, whether I'm having a conversation with my partner, it's like, okay, but why didn't you do that? Why didn't I do that? And we find that we get to the problem, the root of the cause, very, very quickly. And I do it with my friends. I do it at work. And it's also even, maybe not when you're trying to not argue, politely argue with someone or get someone to admit their issue, their point of view. It also works when I don't understand a task that I've been asked to do. Like at work, I'm like, okay, but why am I doing this? But why? What's the reason behind this? Because I'm very much, I need the big picture to understand my little task. And yeah, that's just really interesting.
Now, I want to get back to the hiking. Can you share a couple anecdotes of things that happened?
Yeah. So I went to Neil Hawkins Park twice. Yeah. I forgot how big it is. And there was the first walk that my partner and I went on. It was very impulsive. It was kind of cold. Like, I was wearing jeans, he was wearing chinos. Neither of us were wearing the right shoes. So we didn't get very far into the walk before we felt very uncomfortable and realized our mistake. And we went, okay, we're going to come back here next week dressed appropriately, and we're going to walk a lot further than what we did. That was kind of funny. But yeah, so the second time we went to Neil Hawkins Park, we went the opposite way because it's basically a giant loop around a lake. And we went the opposite way, and so glad we did, because there was so much more shade. It was like a 35, I think it's going to be about 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
A little warmer, yeah.
It was like a 35 degree day, and it was like there wasn't a breath of air. It was just hot. And Perth is, I think it's a similar climate to Arizona. Like, we don't have a desert like close to Perth, but it's just this hot, dry, arid environment. So yeah, but even though both of us were like sweating 2 minutes in, just not because of the exertion, just because of the heat, it was such a lovely walk because we passed so many people on bikes. We passed so many families, and you can't help, like, I don't know if this is just an Australian thing, but whenever you're on a hike, everyone's always like, morning, how are you going?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny because I said hello to someone. I said, oh, morning. There was a dad on a bike and his family was behind him, and he didn't answer me. And I was like, oh, it's a bit rude. But I heard him call back to his kids, and I'm like, he's an American. I'm like, oh, I wonder where he's like, where in America he's from. And like, I understood why he wasn't paying attention. His kid was like, because you guys are on the opposite side. So he was like telling his kid, oh, yeah, get on the left, get on the left. Like, because he's driving into oncoming traffic. And I'm like, yeah, you do you. But yeah, and I couldn't help but wonder, oh, wow, like, are you here for work? Are you here for holiday? Like, whereabouts in the States are you from? And yeah, it was just really cool. And there was another person where they said hello, and immediately I'm like, oh, you sound like you're from like a Scandinavian country. And it was just really interesting because there's so many more people not from Perth or Australia on that walk than what I thought there would be, because it's not really like a holiday season yet. So yeah, it was just really interesting. So there was lots of people. We saw so many birds. We didn't get swooped by magpies, which is good. It's not swooping season. They're like these, I think they're an Australian bird, but they're very territorial to the point where like people who ride put cable ties in the top of their helmet so it like sticks out, because they will just keep swooping you until you get out of their territory. And I remember in primary school, we had to wait when the final bell rang. We couldn't leave straight away. We had to wait for the teachers to go outside with helmets, and they had lacrosse sticks up and down the pathway. So if magpie started to swoop, they wouldn't hit them, but they just waved the lacrosse sticks around to try and protect the kids getting out of school. So they're very, very territorial. So luckily there was none of them. But yeah, we saw the bobtail. So that was just Neil Hawkins. And I caught up with a friend at the beach, and I forgot how instantly calming I find the beach. And I remember I caught up with her, and it was after like a long day. I was feeling really tired, and it had just been like a long week. I still had one final report to do, and I was like, oh, like I just felt drained and tired. And we sat down at the beach, and I'm a very talkative person, and I just stopped talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And I just stopped talking, and she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, no, this is just the effect the beach has on me. It's just like, I just feel all of the tension and the stress literally just like leaching out of my body into the ground, and I can't help but breathe slower. It was just after the sun had set, but it was still quite bright. And yeah, like, so we just chilled there for ages until we couldn't make out the difference between, like, we couldn't actually see the horizon. It was too dark because it was just kind of blackness. And yeah, like, we just chatted for ages, and there was points in the conversation where we both just stopped talking because we were just listening to the ocean. And yeah, I found that to be so relaxing, and it kind of reminded me of how relaxed I am when I'm at the beach. So I want to go back to the beach more this summer. I say that every year, but I really, really want to do it, because there's like this fine line of it can't be too cold, because it's called the Fremantle Doctor, and it's this cooling breeze. But also sometimes we get if there's a low pressure system to the south of Western Australia, we get the winds from like coming up from Antarctica. So it is freezing. Like, there are times where, you know, it'll be 35 degrees, but you can't go to the beach because it is just too cold. Like, you need to bring a jacket to stand at the beach. And then on the other side of that, if it's too hot, like the sand like burns your skin. Like, so yeah, I do want to go to the beach more, but you just have to pick your days.
Was the beach trip one of the hikes? Was that part of it? Or is this a separate thing?
Yeah, so it was part of it, because we where we parked, we didn't realize there was some bulldozers doing some works to shift the sand, because there's a really big erosion problem there. Uh-huh. So we kind of walked up, and then we sat, and then we walked back. But then we kind of walked all around. It's Sorrento Beach. We kind of just like walked up and down. There's boardwalks, and then we walked back to our cars. And it was just that one wasn't so much walking, but that one was very much a reconnecting with nature. And like, it just, I think the only word I could really apply to it was just, it completely engulfed me. Like, it just, everything else just stopped.
All of these things are these things that have been around you all this time, and they're available, and you weren't availing yourself of it, and then you just dip your toe in the water and suddenly it's all there?
Yeah, it was, no, I knew that they were there. I took my friend to Sorrento Beach because she lives much further south than me, but she was already up here. So I took her to Sorrento Beach because it was my favorite beach growing up. I've known about Neil Hawkins Park. As a kid, I used to call it the bird park, because there used to be so much wildlife there. There used to be kangaroos. There were so many birds. But it's kind of a good and a bad thing. there were so many birds there because people would always feed the birds, but they were feeding them like the sunflower seeds, like the seeds that weren't good for them. So now there's just a blanket rule, like you cannot feed the birds there anymore. But I remember going there as a kid and you'd just be surrounded by birds because there was these smaller birds, like they're called 28s. And so they're bright green with like a little bit of yellow and they've got like an orange beak and a bit of blue. And I always like to feed them because they don't have these really big claws, whereas the galahs wear they're these like big pink birds and they're heavy. And, you know, when you're little, you know, if you only weigh like 30 kilos, something that weighs 5 kilos is a lot to you. And it's like you put your hand out like this and they sit on your arm, but they're used to like digging their claws into a branch. And so they do that to your skin. So I never liked the galahs because they were big and scary to me. But yeah, and there was all these different birds that you'd feed. And there were so many kangaroos around because it's just bushland everywhere. So I was expecting there not to be as many birds because they stopped people feeding them from years ago because it was bad. Like people weren't feeding them the right thing. And also it's kind of interrupting the flow of nature because they kind of viewed the park as their feeding ground instead of like finding natural food. But I wasn't expecting there to be so few kangaroos. So I was a little bit sad about that because they're just like, you'd just look up and they'd be everywhere when I was younger. And now I didn't see one on any of the times that we went. So I'm a bit like,
so I'm trying to get a feel for how much of what you were doing would not have happened with you had we not done this.
Oh, none of it. To be completely honest.
And you hadn't done stuff like this before. So this was like, I mean, it was right there.
Yep.
And it was there for the taking. And boom. I mean, I'm really jaded that I'll just say, like, here in America, like, I think a lot of people faced with the prospect of going to the park would choose to watch Game of Thrones instead.
Yeah.
Or to check out the latest new restaurant or...
Yeah.
And it's so rewarding. Like, did you spend any money on this?
Only because a couple times we went for coffee, but we brought our keep cups. So technically, that had nothing to do with the walk. So I think the only amount of money that I spent was just petrol getting to and from there. And that was, you know, next to nothing because they're not that far.
Do you remember last time I said that a lot of people, it's most of the time, people, they're doing something they weren't already going to do and they almost always do more than they said that they would.
Yes. So ever since our last conversation, I tried to do the cold showers before and it was, I did not like it. And I think maybe now because it's heating up as well, I feel like I'm not cheating the system. It's just the weather's getting a lot warmer. I've been having cold showers. So I think since our conversation, I've had 3 like warm showers and the rest, I've just been going straight to cold. I have to admit, there's been a few mornings where I turn the tap on and I'm like, let's do it. Just do it. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Because it's, you know, it's still 6 o'clock in the morning. It's still cold. But yeah, I found the showers to be more enjoyable than what I thought because I don't like cold. So it was a real, I don't want to do this, but all right, let's do it. So yeah, I've been doing that. And the best analogy I can come up with is it's kind of like when you're a kid and you jump in the pool in summer and it would be freezing. Because, you know, my parents didn't have a heater for the pool. They just had like the blanket thing that they'd just not put on during summer because we'd be in the pool till like 8 o'clock at night and then 9 o'clock in the morning we'd be back in the pool and it would be freezing. But after a minute or so, like you just get used to it and it actually feels quite nice. It's the same thing with a shower. It's that, I have to admit, it really helps waking me up in the morning, especially morning.
Cold showers wake you up, yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit, there's been a few times where the first words out of my mouth have been like, oh, geez, oh, okay. That's how I start my morning. But yeah, it's been really pleasant. And now I find I'm actually looking forward to having my cold showers because it's just, I don't know, it wakes me up. It feels nice.
And how about your emotional experience of this? Going back to when you first committed to it and then you went out that day.
Yeah.
And what's the whole journey of not just when you're doing it, because it sounds like there's a lot of excitement there, but what's the emotional journey been on this commitment?
I found I've taken more time, like not consciously, it's just kind of happened. I've found I've been more in touch with my friends. So I've been reaching out to them saying, hey, I haven't seen you. And I don't know if it's a combination of being back in nature and also my degree's over. I think it's a combination. But mm-hmm. when I'm reaching out with my friends, I'm suggesting, hey, do you want to come up to meet, like catch the train up to, you know, this train station to the north, and I'll take you to Hillary's, or I'll take you to this beach. And I'm finding that there's been a shift in what I want to do with my friends, of instead of let's go out for dinner, it's do you want to come back to mine? We can sit outside in the backyard, or, and I actually have friends sitting outside in the backyard right now.
Uh-huh.
Or it'll be, do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to go for a park? Do the park? We can go for a walk. And there's been a shift in what I want to do with my friends. So there's that. And there's also been a, I'm taking the time to actually check in with myself more, because it was one of the things that would just happen on my walk, because, you know, I didn't have my nose in a book. I didn't have a report to write, or, you know, I wasn't thinking about what I had to do next at uni, or, you know, was I behind? I've got to send this email off. It was, no, I'm in this moment. And I think because I was conscious of my stress levels going down, I became conscious of how stressed I was. So that's kind of prompted me to go, okay, let's do a check-in. Maybe, okay, why am I so stressed? Okay, some of this is just self-imposed. Like, why do I have to get all of this stuff done today? I could do, you know, more than half of this sprinkled over the next week after work. Like, I don't have to get all this stuff done today. So there's been a lot more checking in with myself, and I've found that I've been a lot less stressed. I've wanted to reach out with friends more. I've also been more conscious of what I buy at the shops. So I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier how I listened to your TED Talk, the one from a year ago, where it's food, not doof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because on my walks, because I've been paying attention, I'm seeing more plastic. Because I think I said to you in my first interview, where I'm like, oh yeah, there's not that much plastic, but you're like, the point is there's rubbish. There shouldn't be.
Yeah, I was,
I'm like, oh yeah.
I was so sad to hear, not about you, but it's just like, oh, there wasn't much rubbish on the beach. I'm like, there used to be none.
Yeah.
You know, that's good that there's only a little bit, is such a sad statement of our society.
Yeah. And like, it kind of, I'm pretty sure, I hope you edited it, because I think after you said that, I think it was silent for a good like 2 seconds, where I processed what you said, and then I processed what I said, and I was like, I was so disappointed that those words had come out of my mouth. And I'm like, because that's reflective of what I thought was a good thing. So yeah, on
that's
board,
reflective about our society, not you.
Oh yeah, but still, I'm trying to be better. You know, I'm trying to make the effort, and yeah, I was just a bit disappointed that I had that stance, but also like I wasn't aware that that was my stance.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I've been more conscious of the rubbish, and I keep forgetting to do it, but I need to put like a plastic bag and like gardener gloves in my car, so when I do go on the walks I can start picking up the rubbish, because every mm-hmm. time I forget, but the second I see that first piece of rubbish, I'm like, oh, I forgot. So yeah, because I don't necessarily want to pick up where I was walking some of the rubbish. Not that rubbish is ever clean. I'm just a bit of a germaphobe. I really don't like dirty things. So I'll pick up rubbish if I have gloves. So I mm-hmm. need to remember to put the gloves in my car if I'm going to be walking, like if I'm going to be driving to a spot where I'm going to walk, or just put a pair of gardening gloves in a bag on the front door.
And right, I got to tell you an anecdote.
Yeah.
I wish I'd recorded this episode. It was a friend of mine. She was a reporter. She had some stuff in the New York Times. So when she committed to, she has a park near her that she walks in every day. And so she committed to picking up litter while she did her walks in the park. But along the way, she said, she thought about it, but she said, she almost what you said. She's like a germaphobe, doesn't want to pick things up. And I offered, how about the gloves? And she's, oh, what a great idea. So for years, she's been going to this park, never picking anything up, saying, oh, because I'm a germaphobe. And now I know from experience that when someone says that, that's like what they say to themselves. But here's what happened. She went out. So I think she was going to do it every day for a month. I forget the exact numbers. Anyway, the next time I talked to her, I say, how did it go? And she goes, okay, the first time she goes out, she felt great. She was like, oh my God, I've been passing this stuff by and now I'm picking it up. It, like, she felt activated and she felt much better about it. And then she went out the second day and she forgot to bring the gloves. And she said, oh, I'll just pick the stuff up because I knew I'd like it so much. After years of telling herself, oh, we can't do it, I'm a germaphobe, one time was all it took for her to realize it's no big deal. You know, I pick up litter every day. I never bring gloves with me. And so, I set up a couple of rules. Like if it's wet, if it's in a puddle, if it's absorbent, I'm generally not going to pick it up. Oh. If it's, I don't know, cigarette butts and smaller, I usually don't pick up because they're too small. If it's really flat, like just one piece of paper, or there's all these pizza places that give out paper plates, so there's paper pizza plates all over the place. And I don't usually pick them because it's like I have to get, you know, sometimes I'm like trying to pick it. But if it's something bigger, I'll pick that up. So yeah. I'm always picking stuff up. It's just not, so I don't need gloves. And everyone's always like, oh, are you concerned you're going to get some disease? I'm like, I don't know what's going on in people's heads. I think it's like people are telling themselves excuses, rationalizations, and justifications not to do stuff. And they're projecting onto, has anyone gotten a disease from picking up litter? I doubt it's ever happened.
True. Yeah, maybe this is an excuse I've just been telling myself. Yeah. Right. If I forget my gloves, I'll pick it up anyway.
You know, if I see like a tissue, I'm like not going to pick that up, you know, yeah. But if it's like a can or the, oh my God, it's like McDonald's, Taco Bell, 7-Eleven, Dunkin' Donuts, there's so much litter. It's, anyway, back to you. You're talking about the emotions and I asked you about the emotions and you were telling a lot of stuff about what you did. What, can you put some names to the emotions?
I don't know if relaxed is an emotion.
I'll give it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really relaxing because I think I mentioned earlier how the stress, like I became conscious of how stressed I was and how much stress I was carrying around. I found it really relaxing, enjoyable. I found I was speaking with my partner more. Not that like we weren't speaking, it's just that usually, you know, he'd be playing his computer games or I'd be reading a book or doing uni or then we'd, to spend time together, we'd probably watch TV. Like we just finished watching Loki. And like while I enjoy those things, it's really good to just chat and it doesn't have to be about anything serious. So I found it good that way. And
so what's the emotion there? Is it friendliness or intimacy or what?
Yeah, I think it is intimacy. It was intimacy. It was joy. And I don't know if this happens to anyone else. There's I'm vitamin D deficient, but I love it when in a sun smart way. Sorry, I have to preach sun safety. I love the feeling you get when you step out into the sun and maybe it's like, because you haven't left the house all day or maybe you've just woken up or whatever reason and you get that feeling and it's like you can feel the vitamin D just like soaking into your skin and like you just get this spread of warmth and like it's just this, I don't want to sound corny, it's like the sun's just giving you a hug just for a second and it's just so good. I found that I got a lot of that, but you know, 30 seconds later I'm like, oh, get me out of the sun, it's way too hot. But just that first initial moment of like, oh, this is so nice. Like the sun's on my face, on my sunscreen shaded face. Sorry, the sun's really intense here. And then? To the point where Australia sells some of like the strongest sunscreen and it goes through a lot of screening processes. And yeah, it was one of the first jobs I had at a bar and one of the guys missed a few days of work. And I said, oh, like what happened? And he said, oh, I had to go get a skin cancer cut out. And one of the other person's reaction was like, oh, it's just skin cancer. And I'm like, that is not the reaction you have when someone says, I had to have cancer removed from my skin. And I remember like just being really shocked. I'm like, that's not a healthy attitude to have. So yeah, it's like really.
I spent a lot of time on my roof and I have a little not running joke, but so if I go on a video call, and I say, and I'm up on my roof, I say, do you mind if I put on a little sunscreen? And they go, okay. And I put on a hat.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Long sleeves, hats, I have very fair skin and I almost never put on sunscreen because blocking the sun is more effective. And because sunscreen is kind of, I don't know, chemicals, I don't know where it goes. So it's interesting. You're saying that you're getting more introspection and reflection, I'm hearing. And it sounds relaxing. And yet before we did this, your life was overfull with things. And this was something to on top of what you were doing before.
Yeah, it was another task I had to do. It was, yeah.
So how come you have, shouldn't you be stressed? What happened that you have, I mean, you have more time. It seems you have more time to do these things, even though you, before you committed to them, you didn't have enough time.
It's a combination of things. So for the sake of clarity, my degree is done now. Like all my assessments are done. So I naturally had more time from that. But the second my university ended, I've started my 3-week internship, which is working full time without pay. So I do have the same working hours as someone working 9 to 5, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm finding that because I found the walks enjoyable, or spending those time with my friends or my partner enjoyable, I kind of made it a priority. And I think I mentioned on the last interview that I wasn't making myself a priority. I wasn't making my health a priority. It was, no, I've got to do my degree. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And then maybe somewhere, you know, at row 50 was, oh, you know, you should go for a walk. You should go back to the gym. Like, and I'm finding that I'm kind of reevaluating what my priority should be. Because I have to admit, that first walk, it was the first proper walk. It kind of highlighted how unfit I was. And I'm like, oh, you know, I used to go to the gym quite often. And then I had to really think and go, okay, well, when did I stop going to the gym? When was the last time I went to the gym? I've been paying the fee, you know, every month, but how many months has it been since I've been? You know, and I just started asking myself those questions and not berating myself, but again, asking, but why, but why, but why? Why haven't you been making yourself a priority? Why don't you think this is important? And I kind of had to do some reflection, and it very quickly became clear to me that I need to make my health a priority. You know, no one else is going to do it for me. And yeah, so yeah, it kind of ties in with self-care, but also it ties in with my values of going for these walks and reconnecting with nature. And now I want to get out there, not only to do the walks, but I want to do the Josh thing and pick up rubbish when I see it and do the right thing with or without gloves.
So one conversation we had, and you're consuming less doof, exercising more, you have more free time, and you want to do more of these things. And you're connecting more with the people in your life.
Yeah.
Can you see why I love doing the Spodek method with people?
Yep.
And yeah. Do you want to do do you want to do the workshop? Do you want to be able to do this with people? You could be the Australian vanguard of...
Oof, I'd love that.
So it starts in January.
Yes. So, because I did... it's one of the... I'm whittling it down my emails because there's so many flagged emails that I'm like, I will get to this. And that's one of them, but it's at the top of the list. Because I know it's in January. I'm away until the 13th of January. I actually, please don't hate me for saying this. I was actually going to try and not tell you because I know how much you hate flying.
Because you're
going
to fly somewhere.
Yeah. I am going to the States actually with my partner. And I have felt so guilty about this trip because my partner and I had met pre-COVID. He was going to go see his brother who just had triplets and, you know, meet the triplets. He was going to go over and I was like, oh, you know, you go over. I can't afford it. He was like, no, we'll go next year. COVID hits and he hasn't met them. And he met them for the first time Christmas last year when they came to us. Because COVID just completely locked down the state of WA. I don't know if you heard it, but people couldn't even get in from other states of Australia unless they had an exemption. There was a hard lockdown. And then also my partner has heart and lung issues and asthma. So if he got COVID, he gets warned, don't get the flu. So his doctors were like, do not. I know everyone doesn't want to get COVID, but please do not get COVID. It will hit you hard. So we were very, very careful with what we did. And so yeah, this year he's finally felt comfortable enough to fly. So yeah, we're going to go to the States. So I'm going to be away from the 13th of December to the 13th of January. So yeah, I'm not sure when the workshop starts.
I'll put you in touch with Evelyn. She's running it. This time I'm her TA. She TA'd for me.
Ooh.
And now I'll be her TA.
Cool.
And so I'll put you guys in touch. And also anyone else listening to this, if you're interested in bringing to others what Jacqueline has experienced. Any regrets on this one?
Not doing it sooner? That's the only regret.
Oh, I like that answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate you taking the initiative to contact me. So also anyone else out there, if you've been listening to a bunch of episodes and someone listening, they can. I'd love to hear, so much of this is solo work. I mean, I'm talking to Jackie right now, but there's a lot of like the editing and all these other things in the background. So I love hearing from people, and it's very rewarding. And if they don't have to, but if they, ever since, who was it that, once I started bringing listeners on as guests, it's really fun to hear how it's affecting people. Also, they start getting into the fold. So there's a big growing, not big, a small but growing community of people who they really love. You know, they've done the Spodek method a couple of times. They start doing it with others. And once you've done, if you do it five times, so that you have five people in your life who are on the journey with you, you're swimming downstream instead of upstream. And it's, I mean, for me, it's, I mean, I still talk to family and people who, I don't know, my mom, if you listen to the episode, oh, you haven't heard the episodes, it's her yet, but the Spodek method didn't work with her for various reasons. But there's like plenty of people in my life who are not doing any sustainability, anything, but there's plenty and more all the time who are. And some of them are doing stuff that's way beyond what I would have ever thought of. And like this one, if you saw the video, Emily, she's up in Boston and she took the train to do this workshop in Tennessee, maybe. So she takes the train a ways, but then she had 3 days of biking with a tent and everything. So from the train station to the place where she was going, she biked for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
And when she did the workshop, one of the things that she did was to get her bike out, and like she wasn't biking. She got the bike out to, I don't know, clean the chain and kind of get it back into biking condition. When she's doing this, her neighbor comes out and sees her and says, oh, you don't have a bike stand. That'll make it a lot easier for you. And, you know, she just starts connecting with people and starts biking more. And now she's like biking like all the time, and she wasn't doing it before. And that led me to do more biking, and that's led others to do more biking. And all these little things that someone will do something and find the joy in it and then share it. And then everyone else is like, oh, I should do that too. So she's doing these dinners up there. And now Evelyn's doing the dinners up in Oregon. And I've been doing the dinners all the time. All this stuff is growing. And so, well, I guess I'm saying this to listeners, as they connect, if you do start doing these things, it starts snowballing. And we're all having fun. Everyone thinks sustainability is a burden. So it's great to get out into the world that is not a burden. It's not only not a burden, the lack of sustainability is a burden, is dreadful. And to restore it is really fun. All right, so sorry, what were you saying?
No, that's okay. Sorry, I'm trying to, I can't remember her name. One of your guests in the early episodes where I'm at, I can't remember her name, but she says millennials are like the greatest generation since the greatest generation. I cannot remember her name, and it's really bugging me because I remember listening to her being like, oh my god, like she was one of the first like females on like the board of something. She was like the CEO of like the Girl Scouts for a while.
Oh, Frances Hasselbein.
Yes.
Oh yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah. What's really interesting is when I'm at uni, a lot of people think I'm younger than what I am, just because I'm at uni. So I was talking to a few people, and one of these girls, I think she's just turned 22, and she's like, oh yeah, like when we like went to high school, I'm like, I graduated high school like 8 years ahead of you. And she was like, really? And it's just really interesting to see, even though I'm technically a millennial, she's a Gen Z, even though there's like not even a full decade between us, the differences in attitude is a lot. And then I'm looking at their attitude towards the environment, my attitudes, like my and my generation's attitudes towards the environment, my parents' attitudes towards the environment, and their parents' attitudes towards the environment. And it's really cool just to kind of sit back and go, okay, I feel like it's not that sustainability is up and coming. It's that it's become such a problem. A lot of people are now focusing on it. And so universities are introducing more sustainable aspects to all degrees. And I actually spoke to one of the unit coordinators of my degree, because they've introduced one sustainable unit into the degree for the first time this year at Sustainable Property Markets. And I went to a different seminar because Curtin University has started something called Planet Positive, and it's run by Josh Byrne. He's really cool. He's done a lot of work in sustainability. And some of the links I sent you in that first email, I think like three of them were his. So he's the Dean of Sustainability at Curtin. And one of the units in this program that he's created is actually called Sustainable Development. And I said, hey, this is directly related to this degree. And I pretty much asked them if I could put them in contact with each other. And I said, look, I think you should really include this unit in this degree, even though this is a completely separate course. This directly relates to the property development valuation unit. This, I think it should be part of it. And I thought maybe that I'd get a little bit of pushback. But as soon as I send that email, the unit coordinator of the degree I'm doing was like, yeah, you're right. You know, this is the way that the industry is moving. We need to do it. And I was like, oh, cool. That's amazing. That was easier than what I thought. So I'm hoping that that's kind of, I immediately stepped back. I'm like, I'm just a uni student. I cannot help you here. You two sort out whatever it is you need to do with the university to try and get this done. But it's really interesting because I'm working with all these different generations, but I'm finding a lot of people who are at uni, it doesn't matter what generation they're from, because there's plenty of mature age students. They all have a very, not positive, how do I say this eloquently? They pretty much agree that global warming's a thing. They don't just go, no, it's not a thing. We don't have to worry about it and bury their heads in the sand. They're very open to the fact and open to these discussions. And what was really cool is I started a club called the Sustainability Collective at Curtin, SCC for short. And there was a lot of thought behind the name because we didn't want to be like a club. It's not like this fun thing. Even though we did want to be there to be an aspect of fun, we chose the term collective because we wanted it to be a collective. Like, there's not going to be any barriers. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a student or if you're a staff. We chose not to be affiliated with any particular faculty. Like, there's some clubs that are like engineering clubs, so you have to be an engineering student to be part of the club. And what was cool is that our very first event, we've only had one event because we're a new club, and we were trying to put feelers out about what people wanted from us.
Man.
And it was really cool because we kind of did a presentation of, hey, these are our ideas. Is this what you want? Do you have any feedback? What do you think we should be doing? And this event was only supposed to go for, I think, like 2-3 hours. Some people had to leave for a class or for a different event, but the amount of people who just stayed back for a chat and to go, oh, this is so cool. Like, I want to be involved. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And it was kind of like I said with the meeting, where you just get this buzz of people getting so excited. And I thought it was going to be like a really boring, I was really worried that our first event was going to be really boring because it's pretty much like a presentation and there's food of us sharing our ideas. But everyone loved it and everyone was really passionate about it. And there were some ideas that I got a lot of attention, and like some of them was like running workshops, you know, and kind of trying to educate people more. And we're trying to be open and get everyone involved where they can, but also not enforce it on people. And it was just really cool because you have this group of people. And again, I was looking particularly at who joined up, because this is you choose to join these clubs. You don't have to. And there's no like, you don't get like extra credit or anything for joining this club. And it was really cool to kind of take a step back when I wasn't talking and look at actually who signed up. And there was a lot of young people, like a lot of the Gen Zs, a few millennials, but also a few, what are they, Gen X? Yeah. I think Gen, like my parents' generation, like from mature students who joined up as well. And there was a few staff who joined up. And it was really cool to see this group of people that was so passionate about joining this club and passionate about sustainability and the environment. And not a single person was doing the same degree. It was completely...
So I hope that people are picking up that the opportunity here, if people think this is a burden, they're not getting it. Yeah, there's big risks and billions of people may die, but there's opportunity. I measure my life by what I do relative to my potential. things outside my control, they're outside my control. Anyway,
yeah.
I hope to that you start bringing intrinsic motivation from the Spodek method, if that's something. If,
yeah.
I hope that becomes a tool that you can use.
Yeah.
Any messages to listeners of this experience for you?
It's really not hard, even if you think it's going to be hard. No, I don't have time. I personally think it should be a priority, and that it's going to be a lot more rewarding than what you think. And it's going to affect more than just that one thing that you think it will. So for me, I just thought it meant that I might go walking more, and all of a sudden I'm taking cold showers. I'm looking at the foods that I'm eating, like the packaging that it's in. I'm looking at rubbish, like in my surrounding area. I'm, you know, trying to think about how this can apply to a club that I'm part of. Like, it just, I feel like doing this is like dropping a pebble in a very still pond. And in your head, you're kind of just thinking, I'm just going to drop the pebble. But then all of a sudden, all these ripple effects happen. And it just ripples further and further out than more than what you think it would. I hope that analogy made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people talk about ripple effects a lot. So now I have a feeling that logistics across all these time zones and across seasons is, might make it challenging. But I suspect I'm going to be seeing you come January.
I hope so.
In the workshops.
Yeah. I don't suppose you're near Vermont in December, January? No, December.
I won't be in Vermont then.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it occurred to me that if you're in a similar time zone, it might be easier to connect at least for the first week or first session or two.
Yeah.
If you're here.
Yeah.
So I'll put you in touch with Evelyn and anyone else listening to this. If you're interested, even if it's well after January 2024, we'll be doing workshops forever, possibly with Jackie leading them across Australia. Or who knows where. Well, Jackie Buchanek, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
How many people are bringing a message of joy from what everyone calls saving the environment, but I call the future? Step by step, this podcast is creating a culture of joy, community, and connection around sharing and acting on our environmental values. Again, there's no profit in buying and wasting less, but we'll all love our lives and relationships more when we do. I can use your support. Please donate at joshuaspodek.com/donate. Again, that's joshuaspodek.com/donate.